Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, good evening, good evening. Once again, family, I want to welcome everyone to another episode of the Real Talk with Chris Richardson Show. Tonight's topic is going to be real interesting. We're going to get right into it, but I've got a few housekeeping things. If you're certainly just joining us for the very first time, I want to welcome you all to the show. This is an hour of impact and a topic that we just discuss things that we need to talk about. Last week, we had a heartfelt discussion with my buddy Nate, and shout-outs to Nate if he's listening tonight or listening to the replay. But tonight we're going to talk about controversy. So if you've never if you've never heard the show before, well, this show is all about you. When you are better, we are better. That means we can be better fathers, husbands, wives, mothers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles. It begins with you and ends with you. So if you aren't willing to change, neither will your situation. And so at the end of the day, we can do more when we know more. And as we say, we can do better when you know better. And so what we're trying to do is really create an environment where we can live better, love deeper, and laugh more. That's it. At the end of the day, we really want to focus on helping you be the best that you can be in all situations, whether it's, you know, a better situation and you're on the job, it's a better situation, whether, you know, in your community, whatever the case may be. When you can live better, love deeper, and laugh more, life is better. Now, notice I didn't say anything about your happiness because I'm not talking about things that make you happy. I think our society has got that all twisted. That's a whole different topic in itself. But tonight we're going to talk about conflict, and the question is it me or is it you? So we're going to get hot and heavy just a little bit, but when we open up the lines tonight, just real simple. We always have a policy on the show. That's right, it's a policy. That means we can agree to disagree. At the end of the day, we can challenge the message, but we never, ever attack the messenger. So at that point said, you can call in, address your comments, your questions for the show, for the group, and after that is all said and done, we can respectfully agree to disagree, and that's okay. So we're going to be right back. I want to play a little song for you, and after this song, we're going to get started with tonight's show topic.
I'm in love with you, but this ain't the honeymoon, past the infatuation phase. Right in the thick of love, at times we get sick of love, it seems like we argue every day. I know I misbehaved, and you made your mistakes, and we both still got room left to grow. And though love sometimes hurts, I still put you first, and we'll make this thing work. But I think we should take it slow. We're just ordinary people. We don't know which way to go, 'cause we're ordinary people. Maybe we should take it slow. Take it slow. Oh. Oh, this time we'll take it slow, take it slow. Oh, this time we'll take it slow. This ain't a movie, no, no fairy tale conclusion, y'all. It gets more confusing every day. Sometimes it's heaven sent, then we headbang. I hang of you call, we rise and we fall, and we feel like just walking away. As our love advances, we take second chances, though it's not a fantasy. I still want you to stay. We're just ordinary people. Take it slow, maybe we'll live
Everybody to the show. I got the phone on mute and everything else. And anyway, nonetheless, we're back, and I think it's important that we start and we focus on what is conflict. And so let's talk about that tonight. I think that's really important to really kind of define it. What you don't define will define you. Ultimately, in the end of the day, those who work with me before, who talk with me, or have coached with me at any level, know that it's something I always say is that you get an understanding. I think knowledge is power. It's a partial statement, but it's important that we get true understanding of it. And so let's work from a dictionary perspective. What is conflict? That's the question of the day. Now, here's the thing. This is a call-and-response show tonight, so I'm not going to ride this all along. I'm not going to ride solo. If you want to jump right in, post a comment, question, feel free to do so. Let me give you some quick things that you can do. You can go to the Facebook group if you're online right now and listening live, and if you're not driving, that is, go to Real Talk with Chris Richardson. That's the Real Talk with Chris Richardson show. Join the Facebook group so we can comment back and forth. And if you're also by phone and you're dialed in, that's great. All you got to do is press 1 on your phone and we can chat and talk back and forth. What's your opinion? I'd love to hear from some of the ladies tonight specifically related to this discussion. Now, let me say there's no inference there that I'm saying that I'm wanting to hear from the ladies, not saying as if ladies are controversial. Nope, not at all. I'm just asking the question, what's your perspective and your viewpoint on conflict? What does it mean to you? And so the definition of conflict from a dictionary perspective, it's a disagreement or it's an argument. Have you ever been in a situation where you're always, you know, dealing with certain people, whether it's on the workplace or whether it's home, there's always conflict around these people. It's always, it never seems that they're happy. They're always complaining. They're always moping. And, you know, no matter what, it's just not good enough. And so I think that has to do more with the internal conflict. You know, there's a saying that people treat, the way you treat others is a direct reflection about how you feel about yourself. Let me say that again. The way that you treat others, that means how you interact with people, whether you're rude, you're ornery, you're disrespectful, you're cantankerous, all those nasty, you know, acronyms or synonyms for it. At the end of the day, if you don't like who you are, it's going to be hard for you to get along with who they are. And so you always wonder if you're looking at, hey, I'm single right now. Maybe you're a single guy, single lady, and you're simply saying, well, you know, people, you attract what you put out. You know, the law of attraction, many of us have heard that before, the law of attraction. You get what you put out, and there's a vibe that you're putting out. And maybe it's a vibe that you've got this look on your face that, you know, you look unapproachable. Now, I've heard that before. And maybe you're on your grind. Maybe you're focused on your workplace. And at the same time, it's okay to smile. And if you are smiling, tell your face that it's okay to agree with your smile and how you feel about yourself on the inside as well as connect with that on the outside. So, again, defining conflict and what's the difference between conflict and controversy. Now, there was an article that my fiance shared with me this week, and we were reading a devotional, and I want to share that with you all. And it says, you know, this is from the devotional. You can go to Bible Gateway and find this devotional. But it says, you know, I sat on one end of the couch, and he sat on the other. In a kind of a silence that can be cut with a knife, my arms were crossed, and he stared forward at the blank television screen. Inwardly, I was bursting to get my feelings out on the table, but outwardly, I was stone cold like a guard, like the guards outside Buckingham Palace. Soon, he grabbed the remote to turn on a movie, and eventually, he moved past the silent fight we were warring over. I learned pretty early on in dating that conflict was inevitable. At first, I didn't deal with it because I had never been taught that it could be done in a healthy way. We're going to come back to that, dealing with that conflict, and I too thought the same thing. But let me finish the storyline. My version of handling the conflict came from either walking on eggshells around my dad, shutting down with my mom, or exploding in arguments with my brothers. Much of it had to do with the anger I was in bondage to for the first 18 years of my life. Put a footnote on anger. I suppose after being miraculously delivered from it at the altar one night at a youth retreat, I was too afraid to show even an ounce of it in fear it would return. So my only go-to was avoiding any conflict altogether. It was after I started dating someone, I listened to a podcast on conflict in relationships. It was as if my eyes were finally open to a healthy way of dealing with conflict, and not just in romantic relationships, but any relationship, really, friendships, family, coworkers. Learning how to deal with conflict properly will significantly change the health and length of any relationship. Speaking from personal experience, I promise you, it's something you will want to embrace in an area you will want to grow in. Now, here was a scripture that came along with it. I think that's important. You want to put a footnote in this. Colossians 3:12-14 from the NIV version talks about this, and it says that, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, great gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Again, that was from Bible.com. I said Bible Gateway, but that was Bible.com. Now, I think that's important. I said put a footnote in a couple things because, listen, in reality, I too felt the same way early on. A lot of times, I, as a guy, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't do conflict. Well, that was then, this is now. And every time I felt that there was conflict, I would pretty much shy away from it. You know, I'd walk on eggshells, been in situations where, you know, I couldn't be true to myself in a sense because I sensed that everything was conflict. If I approach this person, okay, how are they feeling? I was more worried about them but being authentic with myself. And for some of you all, you're doing the same thing. You're not true to yourself because you're so concerned about them that you weren't, you know, that you're not really sharing who you are in the midst of it. And what I had to learn how to do was to see things a little bit different. See, I have God to change my perspective on things. And when he changed my perspective, I didn't look at conflict as necessarily a bad thing. Now, I know the word normally connotates an unhealthy situation. But what I had to do is learn how to take what was unhealthy and create an environment to where I could still feel safe. I can be true to myself. I could be authentic. I could be in a place where we talked about last week, vulnerability. I could be willing to be vulnerable because I just had to change my perspective and say conflict doesn't make me weak or conflict doesn't make me contentious. Conflict is building my character. And so what I had to learn how to do is say, well, okay, here's God's working in me and through me, trying to get something to me. And so, you know, many of you are dealing with situations right now where there's always conflict around you. And you got to look at that and say, God, what am I supposed to see, learn, and grasp in this time and at this season? Because what you don't grasp right now, you'll repeat later. Absolutely. I've learned lessons in my life that I realized that I thought that were controversial, and I've repeated those patterns and pathologies because I simply didn't get the lesson. So it's important that as you go through your journey in life that you learn from your mistakes, your pitfalls, and your failures, if so, and then look at it the wrong way. So, again, changing your perspective will change your outlook. And if you want a new outlook on things, you've got to definitely change your perspective of how you see certain things. See, we're looking at it with a natural lens. God's trying to take you to the doctor and say, I want to change your vision, and he wants to give you not just 20/20. He wants to give you the vision with your spiritual eye so that you can see things from a different, with a natural situation, and we're trying to fit natural issues and put it in a box. Instead, we got to take a natural situation and deal with it with a spiritual solution. And so ultimately, that's the goal, is to get to the place where we can see conflict because we're looking at it with a spiritual solution. And that means it's going to take some time for you to be in your word. You've got to grow. Just like the scripture that I just shared, you know, in Colossians 3, that's a powerful scripture. That's one of the ones that my fiance and I were going to read all the time because I learned something when I read this devotional. And it shared, I was like, wow, this is pretty powerful. Therefore, as God's chosen people, okay, so hold on, let's break this thing down. I'm chosen. You know what I mean? Because I'm feeling when I get in conflict, again, I used to avoid conflict, as I said to you earlier. That I didn't feel chosen at that point. And so some of you are listening tonight to the podcast and saying, hey, you know, when I'm dealing with conflict, I struggle with that. Because at the end of the day, I feel a certain way. Well, you got to deal with some things. What's the root of your conflict? And some of it's internal conflict that's caused from past pains that you haven't really dealt with, and it's time that you've got to go in through a detox cycle to do so. Now, we're not going to get into that tonight on the show, but I just kind of want to plant that seed, and that's something that you may want to consider going back to later and working that out with a therapist or a counselor and see if there's some issues that keep surfacing. That means if you feel a certain way, that there's a certain feeling that keeps coming up, it's an anger, it's a resentment, it's a bitterness. Those are things that could be rooted in a deeper root that's there, and you got to ask yourself the question, why? And if you take that from one situation to the next, how is that going to hinder your growth? And see, it's like this in a workplace. People go from job to job all the time. and they think that there's nothing wrong. Well, what you do is you're taking, it's no different from going job to job and then going from relationship to relationship, because your jobs are relationships, people are relationships. And so what happens is you take your problem and you bring it over here on somebody else's front porch. And so you've got to learn how to deal with that and first address the inner conflict. See, there's a saying that if the enemy from outside, the enemy from within can do you no harm, then the enemy from outside can do you no harm. And so that's what we got to get to, dealing with that in the me. Okay, what's inside of me that's going on? What are those two voices that are competing in the conflict between the two? Now, going back to the scripture in Colossians 3:12, it says, I'm a chosen people, holy and dearly loved. There's that word love, love. And that's important. So who loves me? Christ loves me. God loved me. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, as we know. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion. Wow. You know, I didn't think about that. So I need to have compassion when I'm dealing with others in a situation. What does that mean to me? That means looking at it from a different lens and looking at it from a different angle. And ultimately, it's not all about me. So if I'm going to have compassion for others, I've got to be willing to be other-minded. And so think about that. When you're dealing with conflict, try to come to the table and say, well, can I see it from their side as well? And so what we do, have to put down the knives, the daggers, and the guns and be willing to say, look, we can agree to disagree, and it's okay. See, I think that's the challenge that we have in conflict, that so many times that people get into situations thinking, it's got to be my way, or you don't see it from my vantage point. And it's not necessarily that they don't see it from your vantage point. It's not at all that. So what you can't do is you can't put your feelings on them as if that's all that they see or that they understand. That's not necessarily the case. So you've got to give them, you have to be compassionate to understand it. And then it says kindness. Kindness is so important. What is that? That means I'm going to, even when I feel a certain way, I'm going to be, to me, that means I'm being considerate of the other person, to show them, treat others the way I would want to be treated. Then there's a level of humility. Wow, that's big in itself. Humility is that thing where it's like, you know, I'm going to be the bigger person in spite of how you're acting, and I'm not going to let your issue become my problem. You know what I mean? And so then it says gentleness. Wow, gentle. In the midst of all your anxiety, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering or your frustration, it says be gentle. That means if I put an egg in my hand or if I hold a baby, what am I going to do? I'm going to be gentle. I'm not going to crush it. Just the opposite of that. And then it says patience. So that's something that we have to understand. When we're dealing with conflict or we're dealing with controversial situations, we've got to learn how to be patient. Well, what does that mean? There's a statement that I always say, a phrase I always use. And I said, when will the baby walk? And the response to that is the baby will walk when it's ready to walk. Well, what do you mean, Chris? At the end of the day, if you've ever seen a baby giraffe get up, fresh out of the womb. The baby giraffe can't stand on its own two legs. It struggles to stand. But when will it stand? It will stand when it's ready to stand. But when will it walk? It will walk when it's ready to walk. That means the mother has to be patient. The mother has to show compassion. The mother has to show kindness. The mother has to show gentleness dealing with that baby. Well, when you're dealing with conflict or controversial people, you don't meet them with force. You know, I was a black belt in martial arts with Taekwondo and also practiced Muay Thai. Now, I don't say that to impress you or impress upon you. One of the things that I learned in the form of arts is that, you know, especially in Taekwondo was we match force with force. It's a lot of kicks. You know, we had takedowns and things of that nature that you learn over time, but in the beginning it was about force and precision. Well, here's the thing. You don't deal with conflict with precision in that way. You deal with it, you got to flow with it like water. Now, I didn't say you conform to it. There's a difference between conforming and flowing. And so we know that in the scripture it says that we're not conformed to the things of this world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. First, you got to have a new perspective so that your mind can be renewed, and your mind is renewed as it in Christ. In order for your mind to be in Christ when you're dealing with conflict, you got to be in the Word of God to begin with. So that's something that we definitely know. And then it says here, bear with each other and forgive, forgive, forgive. So if I'm going to forgive, I got to learn also how to forgo. That means I'm not keeping records of wrong. And that's so hard to do when you're dealing with conflict or controversial situations. And look, anytime that you're dealing with another person, any relationship has the propensity, well, that's my big bird word of the day, the propensity that it could lead to something else because you're dealing with a flesh element. You're dealing with a person who has emotions. You're dealing with a person who has similarities like you who's imperfect. Two imperfect people coming together need Jesus all the way because it's going to take that. So you're talking about, I want to, if I'm in a situation right now where I'm looking to consider, I want to date. Okay, let's talk about it. How does that look? If you don't know how to deal with conflict right now, you shouldn't date. I'll say that again. You shouldn't consider dating until you learn how to deal with conflict because in a relationship, especially in a marriage is all about a compromise. It's learning how to compromise and learning how to, more importantly than compromise, marriage is all about love and forgiveness. If you can practice those two words right there when dealing with conflict, love and forgiveness. I love you in spite of how your nasty behind acts. I love you when you act out. I love you when you get on my nerves. And then I've got to forgive you. Those two words right there, then you throw in the compromise piece. That means I'm willing. There's a willingness. Now, and we all know that every relationship or every individual has this thing called free will. That means I have a choice that I can choose to do what I want to do. And so at the end of the day for you, what's that look like? So I'll stand on that. And I say that if you don't know how to deal with conflict, you need not get into a relationship because a relationship is going to stretch you, grow you, and in some cases, it's going to tear you apart. And so what you want to do is that you want to start the building blocks now, and you've got to build on something because if you don't build on the right thing, later on the wrong thing is certainly going to tear you down. So let's talk about some things for conflict resolution, okay? So conflict resolution, you know, number one, you got if you're taking notes now, it would be a good time to do so. Number one. Conflict resolution. Your opinion is not the only one. You got to learn that. Your opinion is not the only one. Some people think that, you know, that it's my way or the highway. You know, if you can't see it from my side, or some people just feel that they always have to be right, or some people feel as though that you don't understand my perspective of things, or some people feel as though that sometimes it's about the point I want to make. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to caution you to the winds, no caution to the winds, that it's not about perspective or not being about being right. It's not about your vantage point. It's about you being conformed to the image of Christ. And so that means you're being transformed with your mind. That means on a natural realm, you can't do things like we do in corporate America. Corporate America is straight cutthroat. At the end of the day, you've got a job today, tomorrow it's gone. Today you got a pension, tomorrow it's gone. We know how that works. So we can't really, we can learn certain things from certain companies, but we've got enough culture of greed and selfishness. It's about me or mine. If I don't get what I want today, you won't get what you need tomorrow. That's how corporate America works. However, when we're in a relationship, a monogamous relationship, a husband and wife, let's speak to that. If it's a husband and wife relationship, then what you've got to understand is that there is a lot of sacrifice that's within that, and it comes with a level of selflessness. So somebody who is selfish, conflicts will eat you up because you've got to see things that it's your way. Let's say you grew up and you were certainly, you know, maybe you were you had brothers and sisters and you always got your way, or maybe you never got your way. Maybe they never spoke to you, you know, whatever the situation may have been for you growing up. So that could be something of conflict. Now, here's the thing. How you handle that speaks to where you are today. How you handle your past speaks to, it's, okay, let me be real clear. What you deal with right now speaks to what you went through yesterday and what you got over yesterday. So if you had some challenges as you were growing up, okay, let's say you were one of five brothers, okay, and you had issues, some family issues, how you deal with that today speaks to where God is in your life. Absolutely. It speaks to your growth. It speaks to your character. It speaks to your level of forgiveness. It speaks to your level of love. It speaks to your level of compassion, humility, understanding. All of that, it speaks to that. And so I know, you know, in the words of Steve Harvey, hey, you're a work in progress. Absolutely, I get it. And I'll always say this on the show, I have no heaven or hell to put you in. But I will caution you, and as I say this to you is this, what we have to do, if we're going to put this thing on, we got to put on the full armor. And if we're going to put on the full armor, we got to know what the armor is there for. So we don't fight. We got to realize that we're not fighting the individual. We're fighting an enemy who is cunning, an enemy who is crafty. And so we got to use the weapons of warfare because it's a spiritual warfare. That means you pray for that spirit that's against that individual. So And remember, we always got to agree. It's okay. And so healthy relationships understand that it's okay to disagree, and we can walk away from it not being bitter or envious or resentful. However, you can't, you know, we can at least disagree. And so you've got to learn how to respect each other's opinions. That's so important in relationships. Everybody has an opinion. Your opinion is not always right, and your opinion is not always wrong. And some of your opinions are based on your beliefs. Beliefs and values, as I say, all the time, control behavior. 80% of what you do, ladies and gentlemen, is about beliefs and values. That's what controls behavior. And so it is, a belief is what it is until it's challenged or it's corrected. So what do you mean? All right, we'll put it to you like this. I always believed in the Easter Bunny. I believed in, the Tooth Fairy, all those things. Well, those were myths. Those were man-made myths that were created. Now, until it was challenged in the right way, I learned something new. Okay, that's when I learned something new. So I say that to you all. Until your belief is challenged, it will be what it will be. Now, the right way to find and challenge a belief is by the principles of Christian of truth, the Bible, because that's where we learn what we learn. Now, how do we learn how to interpret the Bible? We got to go deep. And, you know, I was really ignorant, as some of y'all would say. I was ignorant because I took a class a year ago with titled How to Study the Bible, and I had no clue that I didn't know. You know, I thought I was doing something I could open up, New King James or read the NIV and get some a level of understanding. Until I started getting into a concordance and started getting into manners and customs and really understanding the change of times, I didn't know anything. So why are you saying that, Chris? What I'm saying to you that's out there listening, you really don't know anything. I just want to be right out and be the first one to tell you, you don't know what you don't know, and what you don't know will hurt you later. And so what you've got to do is learn how to lean on wisdom. Somebody who's been through something different than you may share something with you and give you some insight and direction. Again, free will, you have a choice whether or not you want to receive it or to reject it. But if it is wisdom, then embrace it, especially if it's godly wisdom. So what you want to pray for in any relationship that you're in is the level of discernment to go along with that as well as wisdom. So that's something that you pray for on a daily basis. God, give me the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that I will apply your principles and your truth, and that I will reject the things that are my fleshly desires. And help me see things with not my natural eye, but help me use my natural eye to see with a spiritual inclination. And that way, when I do see it, I don't reject it. I accept it and embrace it and walk into what you would have me to do. So you are perfecting my character, and you are building me in many different ways. And sometimes God uses failure. You know, one of the things that you can't do, you can't always save somebody. Sometimes self-destruction is the best learning lesson. You got to let somebody fall, and they're going to fall hard. And sometimes when they do that, now remember, failure is not the end. Failure can be sometimes just the beginning. And that way when you fail, you've got a taste in your mouth. Because if you always succeeded in every relationship that you had and everything just went your way all the time, then the minute you hit a roadblock, you wouldn't know how to handle it. You might go cuckoo for cocoa and lose your mind. So anyway, I'm just saying. And remember, and the whole point of number one was your opinion is not the only one. Remember, it's not about tic-tac-toe. It's not X's and O's. Number two, it has to be a dialogue, not a debate. It has to be a dialogue. It's important, you know, if you're going to have a conversation, that it not be a heated debate. Congress all the time, they bring forth issues to the table. Folks have differences of opinion. There's conflict. There's controversy. And so what happens is that it's rooted in somebody's moral compass or their belief that this is how they feel about they firmly about a situation or a bill that's being passed. And then sometimes they stand up for what is truth, but then they'll fall later. You know, we've always had those politicians who have said, you know, and again, I ain't got nothing against politicians or people. I love people. Yellow, blue, purple, color, whatever color they are, it doesn't matter to me. I just love people. But at the end of the day, you know, they say one thing, they walk right, talk left. When you're going to deal with conflict, you got to understand, you know, you're coming to the table with somebody. You can't come with a gun to the table. You've got to be willing to have a discussion about it, and it can't be a heated discussion because that turns into, well, you were right, you were wrong, and no one's really listening. And so we've got to understand your goal should be to achieve a bipartisan agreement. So move over it. It's a two-way street. You've got to really understand, and so make room for your partner. Don't be selfish. It's not all about you. And, you know, I said at the beginning of the show, it begins with you and ends with you, but it's not all about you. It's about God working something in you to build your character and to perfect you more like he would have you to be. And at the end of the day, what we want to do is cross over when it's judgment day to hear him say, well done, my good faith. Then you've got to learn how to have a discussion without hogging up the road. I think that's interesting. You know, some people just want to be the ones constantly talking. Now, I've been talking a lot since I started the show about 30 minutes ago. Now, here's the thing. When I'm talking to others, I want to be able to talk less, listen more. So if you're going to deal with conflict, one thing that you got to realize most of the time, don't bring it to the table. Don't be the main one bringing conflict to the table. So you have to practice good listening techniques. Number three, never attack the messenger. You can attack the message, but you don't attack the messenger. The moment it becomes personal is the moment that you both lose control. You never want to attack the character of your partner. Ever attack the character of a partner. Because what happens then, it plants a seed of doubt that they don't trust me, that they're not with me, that they're against me. So I challenge you that you want to, if you're going to challenge anything, you can challenge the message, but you never attack the messenger. You know, I'd love to hear somebody who's listening out there. I see you guys lit up on the call line. The number if you want to dial in is 619-924-0869. Press number one on the key. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think about conflict and controversy? What's the difference? What have you heard so far on tonight's show that may have impacted you? I'd love to hear, you know, and are you dealing with someone who's always controversial? How do you deal with that? How do you overcome that? Are you an avoider? Do you meet it head on? How should we deal with that? I'd love to hear from you. Just 619-924-0869. Now, point number four I wrote down. Before you make an assumption out of yourself, get full disclosure. You know, I always love the situation where a person who always is quick to jump to a conclusion before they've got the first piece of information. A good detective is going to get all the facts before they try to close the case. Now, I said a good one, okay? They're going to get all the information so that they're not jumping to any conclusion based on an emotion or getting, you know, if you will, trigger happy, if you will. No pun intended for that out there. And I know we got to talk when we're talking about culture today. That's important to know. But there's nothing worse than a person who's jumping to conclusions over speculation. You don't want to speculate, ladies and gentlemen. You want to get all the information. I think, you know, when they speculate means I think he meant or she meant, and it sounds like she said or he said. You know, Wall Street is full of speculators. You don't need to be that person in your relationship. So don't speculate. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Number five, don't be led by your he motions or she motions. That's an important one. Don't be led by your he motions or she motions. However, if something said creates an emotional arousal out of you, you need to find the right time to address it with your partner. You can't always wear your heart on your sleeve. That's important. If you're one of those people that walks around with your heart on your sleeve all the time, you're going to find yourself in a difficult situation all the time because you're walking around with your emotions on your sleeve. So on the other hand, you don't want to be so insensitive to your partner as well. So maybe it's, you know, I don't want to say just it's always the guys, but maybe it's the guys, and you're not being sensitive enough. You know, that's something that you talk about with your partner. That will help you dissolve the conflict because, remember, conflict is, you know, a disagreement that you have or an argument. So if you're going to diffuse that, these are some of the ways. And remember, you want to learn some of the tools. These are just tools that you can apply on your tool belt that will help you right now in the present or further down the road. Number six. It's important to keep the main event the main thing. You know, I mean, some people, when they get into the discussion, they want to go 20 years back. Why are we talking about what happened 20 years ago? Why are we talking about what happened last year? Is that relevant? Is that the main event? Listen, if you're going to forgive, you got to forego. You got to let that thing go. And if you haven't forgiven, here's the thing. What is there's a scripture that talks about forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors? I think it's Psalm 23, last I checked. I think it's important that you got to understand that God ain't going to forgive you if you can't forgive them. You can't go to him with a clean heart. You know, when we take Holy Communion, that is one of the things that we take. We say within our covenant. And if we aren't right with somebody else, then we shouldn't partake of the table because we subject ourselves to damnation. So it's important that when you're dealing with a situation that's present, be present in what's happening today. And, again, don't be making up something just to make it up because it's in your head. That goes back to, again, you know, speculating, making assumptions. So we tie that into number four. Again, number six is keep the main event the main thing. So if you're talking about making up the bed, Don't make it about what they did 5 years ago, as I said. So stay focused on the main event. And if you make the conversation about the past, it will make the person feel as though that you're harboring past issues. You got to remember, it's not about the past. It's about dealing with the present. So remember, if you're talking about past issues, that's toxic. And don't carry old trash to a new house. That's really important. You know, taking that trash to a new house, You know, I always tell my fiance, we talk a little bit, and I say, dysfunction is dysfunction. And I said, dog poop is still dog poop. Don't matter how big the dog is or how little the dog is, dog poop is dog poop, you know, at the end of the day. Number seven, say it without dumping and check your motives. Say it without dumping and check your motives. The worst thing that you can do is have a hidden agenda and have an emotional dump on your partner. So wait a minute, Chris, what are you trying to say? Well, I'm saying that there are some people that will wait to the wrong time, and what happens is that it all comes out, boom. And before you know it, you ran them over, you know, with one of those steamrollers out there, you know. When they do the work on the road, they got that big old, I don't even know the name of that thing. Oh, man, this is bad. I know my mother got into an accident with that thing many, many blue moons. She ran into one of those things when I was younger, okay? That wasn't that long ago. I'm only in my 20s. Yeah, okay. But anyway, so you don't want to steamroll them when you're dumping. You don't want to dump. So that's one of the worst things that you can do, you know, having a hidden agenda and, you know, start emotional dumping on somebody. What's the argument? You got to ask yourself a question. What's the argument really about? What's the conflict really about? You know, and so remember, just because now is an opportune time for you doesn't make it the time for your right time for your partner. That's one of the toughest things in relationships, because it seems as though that I need to get this out. I need to speak right now. Well, you may need to work on, you know, setting this up, because you remember, it ain't just about you. And last I checked, you know, if they are working as well, you know, they've got a lot of stuff that they're trying to decompress and that they're trying to, you know, detox from. The last thing they need you doing is adding extra, you know, maybe when you walk in the door, you know, he jumps all over you and he starts going in on you. Wait a minute, you got to give her a chance to take off her coat, you know, take off her shoes, maybe rub her feet or something. You know, let her take a bath, unwind. You know, so just don't dump on him or her, you know, and then check your motives and what's on your agenda. If you've got an issue that's there, don't create an argument over it, because it may not be something that's that serious. So remember, ask for permission. Is now a good time? If not, make an agreement to schedule an appointment. I think that's imperative. Is now a good time? Point number eight we want to go into. Don't form your rebuttal before they have completed their thought. You know, some of us, I talked earlier about listening skills when we're dealing with conflict. Some are, you know, we've got countries that are still fighting because they're not listening. They're really trying to make sure that the other person sees it from their vantage point, and then they feel as though that the other person doesn't understand their request. And so, you know, what do? They're not listening. So they're forming a rebuttal before even response is put up on the table. Healthy relationships require good communication. And it's hard to hear your heart if you're listening, you know, if you're listening with your mouth. Remember that. It's hard to hear with your heart. It's hard to hear with your heart if you're listening with your mouth. Listen to understand to be understood. Try repeating what they said before answering their question. That's a good one. I try to practice that sometimes with my fiance. We do that, you know, we really try to make an effort about it. And we don't do it all the time, but I think that's important, because that's called active listening. What are you really, really hearing? And you got to repeat it back. So it sounds like this. So what I'm hearing you say is X, and you repeat that thing back. And that way they validate what you just said. And so what happens is that you have to process that thing. Our brains are like a computer. You know, it takes a minute sometimes for us. Some of us are on different speeds than others. You know, like I can talk extremely fast if I want to. But at the same time, I've got to be able to have enough RAM to listen to what's being said and process that. So I'm trying to actively listen. And so when I say it back, that's called the validation. You know, when you go to a drive-thru, and any drive-thru, whether it's McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, or whatever, hey, welcome to Chick-fil-A, you know, to whom do I have the pleasure, you know, today of serving? They'll ask you, and you give them your name. Hey, my name is Chris. They'll say, thanks, Chris. May I take your order, please? They ask for your order. Then they'll repeat that back to you. Say, okay, you asked for number five, blah, 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 blah. They repeat it back to you. That's a validation technique. Okay? So you want to practice that in with your relationships so that you, you know, that's really important. So anyway, the example of that I said, you know, that you want to go to the movies tomorrow night, as if, is that correct? So it, this is one of the ways of repeating it back. And one example I used here in my notes, I said, you know, so you said that you want to go to the movies tomorrow night after work. Is that correct? That's what you repeat back, verbatim what they just said. They'll say, yeah. Number nine, focus on the resolution. I'm big on this. Focus on the resolution, not on revenge. Ooh, somebody, I just stepped on your toes, all over your toes. So when you focus on the resolution, you have to be mindful that you can't control the other person. I can't control my fiance. She can't control me. I can't control my children. They can't control me. I can influence or impact based on what I say or what I do. But I always say this, your ill will, is, you know, or actions or your words, that's not going to change my thermostat. I refuse. I've gotten to a place and a point where I say this all the time. I refuse to let somebody else's ignorance change my temperature. Not going to happen. And so I've tried to practice. It is a technique that is a skill that it takes a lot of patience, a lot of practice, okay, a lot of patience. Now, I'm not always there. This is one that's a work in progress. I'm going to be real with you, 100. So stop trying to make the other person make them your project. That's important. Knowing that you can't control them, don't make them a project, you know, that I'm going to take this on and they're going to see it my way and all this. Never manipulate him or her just to get your way. That's not what we do. That's not how scriptures teach us how to do that. We'll talk about that, too, in just a minute as we have a little bit more time left. So you must also, you got to learn that you cannot guilt a person into doing something. Some of us try to do that so often. We've mastered the technique of trying to guilt them. Oh, so you're not going to do this? Oh, really? Well, you know, I could have. Oh, that's a guilt technique. No. Don't. That's not how we resolve conflict. That's really actually how you create conflict. And it continues to grow and fester. So remember, you can't guilt a person into doing something, especially if they can't see your side. So don't try to. There's always more than one way to resolve the issue. Just remember that. It's always. And revenge is ungodly. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So you've got to know that God has got your back. If you're going to walk with him, allow him to lead you, guide you, and direct you. So come to the agreement that at the end of your conversation that you'll walk away with an amicable resolve. So I remember taking a class with my fiance. And one of the things that we learned is that we had to put solutions on the table. Okay, so let's say you have an issue. Now, we have blended family. We got a number of different dynamics within our relationship. So what we have to do is be solution-focused. Stop coming to the table with your problems. Instead, take your problems to God. He's bigger than the table. Don't put God in the box or take him out only when you have an issue. Take your problems to God. Bring your solutions to the table with your partner. Sit down and focus on what those solutions could be and be open-minded and agree. Hey, we're going to walk away with some level of resolve. And understand that it may not happen overnight, but we're going to work towards it. I think that's so significant that you've got to be willing to work towards that. And so it takes time. It takes a conscious effort to be willing. And you really, not only just a conscious effort, you've got to be extremely intentional about that, you know, because it's easy to let your problems get you down. But, you know, I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. So if I'm going to say the scripture, I got to learn how to certainly live it and apply it, especially for those who, you know, are walking in the word. And if we're going to walk in the word, then we got to realize just because we're in this world, that we've got to not be transformed to the world, but we have to make our transitions into the word. And so I'm going to do things a little bit differently. But, you know, hey, again, when will the baby walk? As you say, it walks when it's ready to walk. And so God will move when he is ready to move, and he'll move you out of the circumstance or situation when it's the right time. Right now, you might just be spinning around in a circle, and he's working on building your character. But remember, just it's a comma, not a period. That's what you got to know. So there's always more than what you doing. One way to resolve the issue, as I said before, we talked about revenge is ungodly. Come to the place where you're willing to make an agreement and end your conversation that you'll walk away with a healthy resolve or an amicable resolve. Number 10, I think this is significant. Control your anger before it controls you. You've got to be willing to do that. See, anger, there's a difference between anger and rage. Anger is something that you can control. Rage is something that you cannot. Now, here's the thing. We also learned this technique, my fiance and I, in one of the classes now. You can always, any of the things that I've shared, they can always be tweaked. You can add to it, take away from it, because this is about you. It's about your relationship. And so what we learned is this thing called the 10 rule. This is something that Skip and Beverly Little at the church, who teach the marriage, you know, couples for So You Think You Want to Get Married class, they talked about. They talked about the 10 rule, which means, listen, if we are going to have a conflict and I'm at a place where I'm done talking, I can call 8, 9, or 10. If I say 10, that means all bets off, shut it down. Because the next thing that might come out of my mouth may not be anger, it may be rage. Rage is something that it might not just be, you know, it may not just be me saying something, it may just be me doing something. And so if you ever get to the point of that, you've got to say 10 and just walk away. And what that does, it gives you a little space. It gives your partner, they have to shut it down. The system, it's not even backup generator, it's always shut down. Can't bring up the issue right away. In fact, they get cool off and everything else. Listen, I don't want to explain their system because that's their system, but there is a process to it. Now, so you all have to adapt healthy routines and processes that when you have situations come up, you can deal with them in a healthy way versus an unhealthy way. And if you keep getting the same result again and again and again, and it's not changing, then guess what? When you look at yourself in the mirror, who are you really looking at? Who's the conflict? Is it you, or is it the little girl, or is it the little boy that you have to deal with? You've got to be really willing to address that thing. And I always say this. This is one of the things that I did a lot of work with, you know, studying a little bit about mental health, is that if you don't address that little boy, or if you don't address that little girl will always control your life. That's important for you to know, because at the end of the day, there's a certain element that you're still living out the experience of your past versus living out the promise of your future. Don't let your pain from your past history be the thing that keeps you away from your destiny. It's such a thin line, but what you got to do, the first thing you have to do is acknowledge it. Acknowledge that it's there. And don't be in denial. Once you acknowledge it, then we can do something with that. Then we can get you some help. And I always say seek a professional, a licensed professional, someone who can counsel you, whether it's a psychologist, therapist, whatever that's out there. And don't think that therapy is bad. That's absolutely wrong. Therapy is good because healthy people do things to keep healthy relationships. And so, as we say, create a secret code word before for you and your partner. I use the 10. Maybe it's a word, bananas. You could say, and that just means, uh-oh, let me shut this thing down. So at any time that you feel your partner has something that sets a trigger in you, call out the code word. Maybe it's bananas, tickles, or whatever. Your partner must immediately back off and suspend all communication around the issue. You know, I always say, you know, a bully ultimately is going to get a black eye. And if the bully keeps pushing on you long enough, eventually you won't muster up the fear or the courage to do something about it. If you keep pushing on somebody, no matter how hard the push is, it don't matter. Person comes home and you beating them down, you meeting them at the door with all this conflict or all this drama. Nah, that's going to get old after a while. And so sooner or later, it's going to be the switch is going to go off. Either it's going to go up or it's going to go down. It might not be good. So never let your anger get to the point where it escalates to violence. I am not an advocate for violence at all. I am an advocate to defuse any level of conflict, first and foremost, and address it the right way. So violence will never resolve any issue. It'll only exacerbate the issue, and it gets worse from there. And so, you know, those are some of the things. I wrote that probably about 3 years ago. Literally, I wrote that. So hopefully something I said tonight that would impact you just on level of conflict that you could say, hey, wow, I can take away something from that. They were simple principles or simple, you know, little nuggets, but I hope something will help you get through where you are so that you won't be stuck. But I'd love to take some calls, comments, questions. I see some folks that are on the line. What are your thoughts and comments about anything that we've shared tonight on the show about conflict? How do you deal with a controversial person? You know, what do you deal when it's a parent or it's an individual that's a family member and there's conflict that's around that? What does Scripture say about that? What are your thoughts and views on that? Hey, 619-924-0869. I'd love to hear from you on how you resolve conflict and what you think is a healthy way that you would like to share with the listeners tonight. So feel free, just press 1 on the phone. I'll take your comments or your questions. And if you're out there on Facebook or the group page, I'd love to hear from you as well. Again, 619-924-0869 is the number to dial in. And if you want to post a comment, I'd love to hear so from you in the Real Talk with Chris Richardson group page. I see that Lorinda, hey, my homie just posted a comment out there. Let's see what she said. Curious how effective those words truly are in the heat of the moment. Hey, you're absolutely right. what about healthy conflict? So let's talk about that, healthy conflict. Conflict, as I said earlier in the show, conflict is not always bad, but what you have to do is change your perspective on how you see conflict. See, I firmly believe, notice I said I believe, what I had to learn how to do, because I was one, when it came to conflict early on, it was either fight or flight for me. And at some point, you know, for a guy, it's like this. If you push me long enough, I'm going to kind of be like, all right, look, you got it. You know, I don't want to bother with it, you know, because we want to avoid the conflict. Now, if it's another dude, that's a whole other story. But typically, if it's with his woman, you know, he ain't really trying to go in on her like that, okay? So it's like if you put a grasshopper or a cricket in a jar and put the lid on, the cricket is going to continue to jump. But at some point, the cricket's going to stop jumping. You can take the lid off. The cricket's done. And so that's how often some of us men, males, we get in relationships, we're done jumping. And what happens, the cricket has withdrawn. Fellas, I don't want you to withdraw. I don't want you to confront. What I want you to do is see it coming and take the tools that we're sharing with you to have healthy conflict to deal with it the right way. Now, healthy conflict diffuses the situation. Healthy conflict is one that you will go through the scriptures and look at, you know, the Bible and say, well, how do we deal with that? Well, if we got an issue with a brother or sister, you know, we sit down and try to reach out to them, to have that conversation with them one-on-one. It's always, look, don't text me no conversation that we need to be having in person. I'm sorry, I'm a little old school, but I'm just going to go scripture on you. If you have an issue with somebody, reach out to that person, see if you can have a face-to-face, number one, face-to-face discussion with them. Can't have a face-to-face discussion with them, maybe you can have a conversation with number two over the phone. If over the phone doesn't work, then you go to a form of writing, okay? You try that first. That doesn't work. Then you bring a third party into the mix, okay? So you get a third party. So let's say from that church, we have a large church and we have, you know, we have organizational structure, all right? So let's say I've got an issue with, you know, a leader at the church. First thing I'm going to do is then my assignment is to find humility and to speak to that leader one-on-one. Now, again, I'm going to walk in humility. That means I've got to put aside my ego, put aside my pride, and reach out to that individual, see if, hey, you know, I've got a couple things, you know, my deal on mine. I'd love to sit down and have a conversation with you over some coffee, you know, and that's fine. Now, that's challenging to do in the midst of how you feel. But remember I said earlier, don't wear your heart on your sleeve. And so when we're dealing with that, if the individual says no, hey, okay, cool, then what I've got to do is step off and pray for that individual. Okay, I've got to pray for them, but my assignment was to follow and be in obedience. And God said to me, hey, look, I want you to apologize to that brother or to that sister, you know, then I've got to be obedient and stay in order, you know, with that. So I said, you've got to first, you reach out. If they don't want to sit down, you know, they don't meet with you in person, you try to meet with them in person. If not, you talk with them over the phone. If not by phone, you do email or, you know, I'm not big on the text thing. Text, open dialogue. Because here's the thing. When you're dealing with email communication or some form of written communication, it's hard to feel the emotion. It's hard to hear the emotion that's connected to that. And so what's happened is there's a misfire of communication that often comes through in a form of a text. We read a capital letter or an exclamation mark maybe the wrong way, or maybe they're using some language because they don't know. Or if they do know, they don't realize that you're reading every little detail and you're taking it at face value. And so, you know, again, if you want to diffuse conflict, we've got to be willing to address it. And healthy relationships see conflict not as a challenge. Healthy relationships see conflict as an opportunity. That's what healthy couples do. And they're willing to sit down, and they're willing to grow. And remember, we put aside our differences. As I said, we read that scripture early on when we read Colossians 3. And when I shared with Colossians 3, I said that, you know, first of all, we're chosen. If we're chosen from God, wow. I mean, how powerful is that? You know, and that we are holy and dearly loved, okay? That means God loves us. And even in spite of our flaws, but also that he loves us, he's looking for something in return. And so he's asking for us to obey and follow his precepts. So we got to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Look, when I get into a situation, I've got to be patient with my children. I've got to be patient with my fiance. I got to be patient with my coworkers, even when I want to, okay? Hello. So I've got to learn that level of patience and what that looks like. And patience is love under pressure. That's really what it is. And so, you know, you got to step back, take a breather, and really regroup so that you're not in a situation where you're creating more than what it needs to be. And often, really, what I've learned over time, sometimes in my little infinite brain, I made things more than what they were. I'm sitting up here thinking, I remember this, and I'm telling all my business. I remember years ago having a situation I had to deal with paying some taxes. Man, that was, you know, because I keep hearing these commercials and dealing with the tax situation, and I was just like, oh, my God. I didn't know what I didn't know. But see, fear will cripple you. Fear will put you in a state of withdrawal. Fear will put you in a state of vulnerability because you don't know. But here's the thing. I made it more than what it was. When I picked up the phone to call the IRS, it wasn't this big bully on the other end. I found that there were real people who were willing to help me, and I always found that if you're compassionate towards others, you got a good shot. You catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar, all right? So it's important for you to know that if you treat others right, it's going to come back around. That's that karma, as they say, you know, karma. I hope I answered Lorenza's question about the healthy conflict that's there. I saw that posted up there as well. So, hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's 9:57. I have been chatting for a little while. I would love to take any comments, questions on the show. I see that folks are still out there on the call tonight. But listen, if not, I want to thank you guys for listening. Tune in again next week as we bring another segment of Real Talk with Chris Richardson at 9 o'clock. So same bat time, same bat channel next week. Join me for a live discussion and stay tuned for the next topic. It's to be determined. So thank you so much. Good night. God bless. And I will listen and talk with you next week. Peace.